Do you believe in homeschooling? Here's your chance to help spread the word that homeschooling is good for students. It's good for families. It's good for America.
Hey everybody, this is Heidi St. John coming to you from the Firmly Planted Homeschool Resource Center in Vancouver, Washington. I am thrilled to be a part of Schoolhouse Rocked, and I just want to encourage you guys, check it out, let's get it funded, and get it into theaters across the nation.
Go to schoolhouserocked.com/Kickstarter and join the movement to spread the word about homeschooling through movie theaters nationwide. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm really excited that you're here with us today, and I'm super excited about our guest today. She is one that I have gotten to know a little bit over the past few months and have been very familiar with her curriculum because it's one that we use in our family, and it is Linda Hobar. She is the author of The Mystery of History, which is a fantastic history curriculum that our family loves. We actually have all four volumes of it. And so we're going to be talking about history today. And so for those of you who are history buffs, you're going to want to listen. And for those of you who are not history buffs, you're going to want to listen because you will be so encouraged by her message that she has today. So Linda, welcome to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. We're really excited to have you on today.
Thank you so much. It is an honor to be here.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Okay, well, my husband and I have three children. Now, they are all grown now. So one is married and has a couple of children, so we're grandparents. Mm. The other is married, living in Nashville, and the youngest married just about a year ago. So we're sort of like new empty nesters. Wow. And you know what? It's kind of fun.
So fun. And you and I were talking a little bit ago about how you and your husband actually get to work together from home now. Doing mm-hmm. Mystery of History, that is your ministry. That is what God has brought you to. And so that is really exciting. I think there's no greater thing than a family being able to work together on a family business. It's so, so exciting when that actually gets to happen with some families. Some, I think some might not enjoy that as much, but
we do. It works for us.
Yeah, that is really, really exciting. So we're going to be talking today about dealing with the dark side of history. But before we get to that, can you tell us about The Mystery of History, what it is, and how this all came to be?
Sure. I'd love to answer that question because actually it kind of birthed out of my being a homeschool parent years ago, teaching my own kids. But in a nutshell, it is a chronological, Christian, and complete series. That's what we call it, and it's for all ages. You know, the truth is any parent can teach world history using our program because it's very easy to use. I just had to write it that way for me. It's also accurate by all the research we've put into it, and it's biblically based because we are believers. And you know that part about the all ages? I know that sounds too good to be true because most curriculum, you know, that you and I would pick up might be good for one grade mm-hmm. level at a time. But really what we've done is we've added like hundreds of optional activities yes. in the volumes that are divided by age group. So while the whole family might read history on one reading level, what they do with that information looks a little different for the mm-hmm. younger, the middle, or the older student. Honestly, the younger ones get all the fun. You know, that's the hands-on stuff.
Right.
And the older and middle students, they're encouraged to do a bit more research and reports. And, you know, it just goes from there. And just to kind of close off on this, there, if you didn't know, we have four volumes. So one for ancient times, then medieval, then Renaissance, and then modern time. So our hope is that with the materials, we really want parents to feel more confident and equipped to teach history in case they kind of missed it growing up, or it was just too long ago that they took it. And, you know, or maybe you grew up on those boring textbooks. So we try to keep it lively and just give parents that confidence, some clarity, well as some conviction for God's word.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. I love that you're so intentional about turning hearts towards Christ and bringing everything, looping it back to the Bible and teaching history from a Christian biblical perspective. And I think you and I have talked about this before in the past that, you know, with homeschooling and with anything that we teach our kids, if we don't teach it in the light of scripture, it is, in my opinion, it is not being taught in full and correctly because, I mean, history begins in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. I mean, that is the beginning of time. And that's the thing I love so much about your curriculum is that it literally starts in the beginning. You start it in Genesis, you know, this is where history began. And then you take it all the way through, but you always connect back to the Word of God and back to how God has worked throughout the history of our entire world. And I love it. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. And that really is a reflection of God's work in my own life. I didn't grow up necessarily with that perspective. He sort of came to me when I was age 17 and just illuminated my mind and heart. So anyway.
That's great. What prompted you to write a history curriculum?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I was homeschooling my own children. We were clipping along. And I found myself just dissatisfied with some of the programs that were available. I couldn't quite wrap my mind around like integrating biblical and world history. That's what I really wanted to see. Again, I was coming sort of out of a deficit of having any biblical view because I didn't grow up knowing the scriptures. So as a younger believer and as a mom, I knew I wanted my children to see that. So anyway, I was praying for a few years. I guess I was somewhat in a midlife crisis when I felt the Lord gave me the title, The Mystery of History. Mm-hmm. And I knew immediately what that was. I knew that the mystery would really be the gospel. And I already had this passion for history. I fell in love with it in college. And so it just brought a couple of worlds together for me that I loved, including my children and homeschooling. And so I started writing, probably naively, to be honest.
Wow.
But he has carried me through it. So I've gotten through all four volumes 18 years later.
Wow, that's exciting. How old were your kids when you started this process of writing it?
They were, at the time, the younger, middle, and older students. So a lot of this material is a reflection of their stages of life. I think the youngest was second grade. The oldest was high school.
Okay. Wow. So they didn't even get all four volumes.
You're right. They grew up before I could finish.
Yeah.
Wish I could have written faster.
Yes. Oh.
I'll be reading it to the grandchildren.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You know, I actually have a good story about reading these books because the way that you've laid them out, they could actually just be read, just like a book. And I have a friend who her daughter, she would just leave their Mystery of History book on their coffee table. And her daughter would just pick it up and read it. And she would just read through the whole thing. And she said, you know, I didn't read it to her. I didn't teach it to her. She said, we didn't even do the activities. She said, I just left it on the coffee table and she would just pick it up out of curiosity. And her daughter just dove into it. I mean, she really, really enjoyed it. And she would just read it for fun. This wasn't even so much part of her schooling, but she would just read it for fun. And so I love that about it. So I know that it's something that even to kids is just enticing. I think she was a younger teenager at the time too. She wasn't, you know, 20. She was maybe 15 or 16 at the time.
Natural learning. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. It's such a beautiful part of homeschooling. So today we're going to talk about something called dealing with the dark side of history. What is the dark side of history? What do you mean by that?
Okay, well, this probably comes as no new news, but history has a dark side. Mm-hmm. It's in there, book after book. I think the subject is loaded with stories of despair, destruction, death. And the challenge that I think we face with as homeschoolers is that here we are, like maybe in the beginning, perhaps you have a preschooler and you start with the easy stuff. You know, we've got colors and numbers and letters, and then we graduate up to a bit more with phonics, and we'll call it math now. We may even start to explore the world with a globe and call it social studies. Well, there's nothing scary going on there yet. But then maybe we go a little further. It's first grade. We're adding a little science. Hope that's fun. Lots of hands-on stuff in the kitchen. And then, bum, 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 it's like around second grade, history enters in, and this subject is laced with blood, guts, and the stench of death. And I think some parents sit back and say, what just happened to this quaint, cozy little thing we call homeschool? It's like somebody dropped a grenade on it. And if truth be told, some students fall in love with world history as young as first and second grade, along with younger siblings. And that's because they like blood, guts, and the stench of death. At least they think they do. I mean, we all know they're children. And I think in their naivety, I do think young children sometimes, they have this heroic, glamorized notion of war and of battle and of chivalry. It starts so young for them, doesn't it? I mean, can't you just picture little boys and girls?
Oh, sure.
Good guys and bad guys. And of course, the bad guys might be aliens or robots or zombies. But, you know, they're there. And the truth is that's role playing and heroism is just embedded in children. We don't even have to teach it.
Yep.
That's not where our problem exists. I'd say that's child's play. Our problem comes a little bit further down the road, Yvette. Like, let's say students are now about third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, and they're past the fanciful stage. They're past the good guy, bad guy thing. Now they're facing real history. And I mean world or American or Bible history. And it is real. It's morbid. It can be disturbing because evil is real. And that is one of the challenges that we face as parents, as teaching parents, is what to do with that.
Yeah, I agree. And it's so important to understand and to be familiar with history, even if we don't remember all the dates and all of the, you know, gory details and facts about it. But we learn so much from history because we all know that history repeats itself. And so if we don't know what has happened in the past, we're just going to repeat that in the future. And so hopefully we can take what we've learned from history and realize, okay, this is how they did these things. Let's not do it that way because it didn't work well for them. And let's try a different way. And God's word is so clear because he gives us such beautiful and clear direction. I mean, you look at the Israelites and you read the history of them and how God gave them such clear direction about what to do and where to go and how to live life. And sometimes they obeyed and things went well for them. And sometimes they blatantly disobeyed and just said, nah, we're going to do it our way. And we think our way is better. And so we're going to fight to have our freedoms and have things our way. And it didn't go well for them. Mm-hmm. And so we can look at that. We can go back and learn from their mistakes and say, and we see that happening a lot in our culture today of, you know, and not just in America, but all over the world, people saying, you know, we don't want to follow the ways of God anymore. We don't want to do things the way that they're meant to be done. We're going to try it our way. And we are in a world of hurt because of that. One of the things we tell our girls all the time is that sin causes pain, but obedience brings blessings. And so when we follow that sinful path, it's going to bring pain. And our world is in a state of agony right now, I feel like, because we've chosen a different path. When you can just simply say, you know, let's read God's word. Let's see what others did all throughout history and how every time they've strayed from God's truth and God's guidance and God's direction for their lives, they've been met in the end with pain. But when we've obeyed, we've been met with blessings. That doesn't mean that there's not going to, of course, be pain in the midst of obedience, but it's a different kind of pain. For sure. So let's take a quick break. I want to tell our listeners about one of our sponsors. So we're going to take a quick break to do that, and then we'll be back and we're going to talk a little bit more about the dark side of history.
Okay, good. Then I'll tell you how to deal with it. Sure.
The new podcast, Truce, is about how our actions influence the way others see Christianity.
Up until the moment of his death, he was still praying. He was fighting even then for what he believed in. And I like that in a historical person.
When we have bad theology.
Not that we don't know. We have an unwillingness in the body to love each other as the Father loved Jesus.
And when we back political candidates.
I love my country, but I'm not deceived that this is a Christian country. It's a pagan country with a lot of Christian people in it. And therefore, we've got to constantly distinguish. We've got to constantly separate between righteousness and wickedness.
It's a show unlike anything you've heard before, where we use journalistic tools to look inward at the church. Let's press pause in the culture wars for just a second and examine where we've come from and where we're going. You can find Truce anywhere you subscribe to podcasts and at trucepodcast.com.
Let's talk about how parents can deal with the dark side.
Okay, well, if I may, let me kind of answer the question about how to deal with it by asking a question. So Yvette, I'll put you on the spot here, but do you remember how old you were when you first learned about the Holocaust?
I do not. Yes. I probably high school, but I don't remember specifically what age I was.
I'm guessing I was in about fifth grade when I probably first saw those graphic black and white photos, you know, the ones of the emaciated corpses and those gaunt faces of the incarcerated. And I am not sure what terrified me more. I don't know if it was seeing the barely living or seeing the piles of the dead, because either way, those images were terrifying.
Oh, they're horrifying.
And I naturally wondered if I, as the little person that I am, was I ever going to face something that cruel and awful? Mm. And I think that's a legitimate question. And that's really what I want your listeners to hone in on. I want to encourage you to do that with history, to use legitimate questions, either that our students will naturally ask or should ask, or maybe the ones that you prompt them to ask, as these kids will be transitioning from that child's play I described earlier to real life world history. So I think, to just sort of reiterate, we should use dark history to ask deep questions. Now, these deep questions, what am I talking about? The ones about good and evil, like where does that come from? Life and death, depravity and redemption, and so much more, which honestly is not found in spelling or math or science. No offense, those subjects play their important roles.
Sure.
But dark history, it's like a gift to us that just comes, you know, wrapped and ready to open, because it just hands us these deep questions. Now, making this even better, to take it a step further, those of us who hold to God's word as having authority in our lives, well, we're going to answer life's questions with biblical truth, because that's what stands on solid ground. That's what doesn't change. And I think that students today are really hungry for solid answers.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And they need to learn how to be able to think through those answers instead of us always giving them the answers. Now, if they have a wrong answer, then we can direct them back to, no, that's maybe not exactly what this thing meant or what it said. But yes, I agree. Asking questions is one of the best ways to teach children. It's one of the best ways to get them to think. And with our girls, when we do our family Bible time every day, my husband always asks questions. And my girls know that the questions are coming, and so therefore they have to pay attention. And if they don't know, then he'll say, well, let's listen again. And we'll go back and we'll review what passage we've just read or what we've just discussed. And then he'll ask them again. And sometimes they understand, and sometimes they're like, Dad, we have no idea, you know, and then of course he can explain it to them. But I think that too oftentimes we don't think that our kids are going to understand, or we just want to give them the answers and get it over with, instead of really digging in deep and helping them to think through these different parts of anything, you know, of history, of science, of Bible, anything. And so, yeah, it's so great. What would be an example of a takeaway?
Okay. I do have a history story for you today. You know, you can't have me on and not let me tell history
stories. Oh, tell me.
That's what I'll do. What I want to do is tell you a very quick story of the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. Now, you might know the story, but let's just pretend you don't.
Okay.
So pretend you're a student. Maybe you're hearing it for the first time. And this is a story kind of out of the early Middle Ages. Mm-hmm. So here you go. This will set our scene. Things are pretty normal in the city of Pompeii on August 24th, 79 AD. Just picture farmers farming, kids playing, dogs barking, maybe moms are tripping over toys in the hall for all we know. But on this one afternoon in Italy, streams and ponds will begin to evaporate because the heat's building up under the ground and animals are restless. The sea begins to swell. And what's happening is that Mount Vesuvius is about to erupt, and it looks just over the city of Pompeii. Now, when Vesuvius erupted, okay, this is so odd, but the pressure under the ground was so intense that rather than ooze hot lava that would run from the top, like you might picture of most volcanoes, this volcanic debris shot up into the air and it hung there suspended for about 11 hours. Well, as people went outside, they could see these red glowing clouds, and 11 hours, that's a long time to see that.
Yeah.
Well, out of fear, of course, thousands would flee. You know, they're trying to get out by horse, by boat, by foot. I'm sure some just looked up puzzled. But as this pumice would begin to fall, it would hit and kill some. The sea turned into mush, and boats are paralyzed in the harbors. They can't get out. But the worst that would happen is this, like the steam began to dwindle. So as you can just imagine, the contents of the volcano dropping. So after 11 hours of spewing upward, these columns of ash and rock just collapsed downward on the city and ripped through it with hurricane force winds. And a lot of cities felt it, but it was the city of Pompeii that was kind of ground zero, we might say. And anyone that may have survived up until then, well, certainly they probably died immediately by scorching heat and vapors. So the fate of Pompeii is like no other. It sat there for a long time, as in about 1,500 years. It was not until the 1700s that like archaeologists began to dig it up. What they found were preserved remnants of like a day in the life of the Roman Empire, because the ash that fell, it was real eerie, but it solidified and petrified people who were caught on the run. They also, it petrified food and dogs and possessions. And so the bodies of the dead, they decayed in time, but these shells remained kind of like silent cocoons. You can still see them today. I'm sure some of my listeners have. And some folks, of course, were found looting at the last, and others were clutching loved ones, you know, just revealing the hope of some, despair of others. So that's the end of the history story. Now let's just talk, you and I, about what you do with a tragedy like that. So my first thought, life questions, right? They're just staring at us here. And I would probably paraphrase to students something like, wow, this story is incredible and sad, and it reminds me of, and then you fill in the blank with whatever the most recent natural disaster was. Of course, you and I right now are probably both thinking that has to be Hurricane Florence.
Right.
You know, it has just taken the lives of more than 40 the last I looked. I believe that was the count yesterday. So I would talk with my students about that. Like, wow, this story sure makes me think about whether we're ever guaranteed another day of life. And what do you think? And, you know, let them mull that around and hear from them. Now, I'm going to assume that children will connect the dots, realizing that every part of the globe has natural disasters. You know, it may not be a volcano, but yes, there's floods and tornadoes and wildfires. And so once they've shared the obvious that none of us are safe from that, I would certainly take them then to a biblical passage like James 4:14 that will address the temporal and the eternal. I don't know if you remember that one right off, but it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. End quote. Boy, I don't know about you, but I really like the first part of that passage because it really hits hard on how caught up we are with the temporal, when we may die tomorrow. So here you are in a lesson, a history lesson with your students talking about that, you know, life or death. I think that prompts you then to dig from them their thoughts on what happens when we die. So here's your next big life question. Honestly, the Bible gives many answers to eternal life, but I will share one of my favorite straightforward passages on that. That's the one in John 3:36. And it says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Ouch. I think that verse is very assuring to the child who has believed in the Son, but certainly it's terrifying to the child that hasn't. So for comfort's sake, if the opportunity is there, well, then you go further with that child, discuss salvation itself, as in, how can we be saved? So there's your next, you know, life question. Again, there's many books and resources that could explain how to share that with a child maybe better than I could, but I will give my favorite topic on this, my favorite verse. I mean, that's Romans 10:9, the one that says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know what, Yvette? I have had more than one letter come to me from a mom telling me that their child prayed to know Christ in the middle of a history lesson.
Wow.
So I know it's a real possibility because, again, this is a subject that's thinly veiled and opens itself up. Now, just to let you know, there's so much more to the dark side of history. And if your listeners are interested, I have a free PDF on my website where I give you 20 of these life questions. They're going to be naturally spawned, you know, out of studying history. And then the best part or the favorite part of the chart that I'll provide for you is that I do have some biblical passages with answers to just some of those questions for those who need the guidance. You know, maybe you didn't grow up knowing the Bible stories and knowing some of God's answers, which is how I grew up. It's something that we mature and grow into. So I've tried to provide that for others.
Oh, I love that. We will link back to that for sure. I'll get that link from you. Do you know the link off or is it easy to find on your website?
I'll tell you where it is on my website. And, and of course, we'll want you to put that up. But the website is themysteryofhistory.com. You don't want to leave out the. So it's the mystery of history. And I have what I call a workshop store. And okay. inside the workshop store is this free PDF, and it's titled The Dark Side of History. So it's pretty easy okay. to find.
Oh, I love mm-hmm. that. I didn't know that that was available. I will definitely be downloading that and pulling that up for my girls. And I just love that. I love your heart to be able to just pull God's word into it and teach our kids. And I think as homeschool moms, you know, we can be so intentional about teaching them. It's not just sitting down, here's your lesson, mm-hmm. check that box, and let's move on to the next thing. It's yeah, taking that opportunity so and mm-hmm. yeah, and just being intentional about finding ways to speak into the hearts of our children and to make a real life change. And what a blessing that you've gotten. I mean, that's so exciting to get emails of children mm-hmm. who have made that commitment and surrender their hearts to Jesus because of a history lesson that they've learned. And, you know, it, if it changes one life, I mean, that's how we feel about Schoolhouse Rock. You know, if it impacts one family to bring mm-hmm. their kids home and out of the public school system, we will be so thrilled that God will have used our family to be able to impact the life of one child or one family. And so that is very exciting. I'm thrilled with the fact that you even have that. That's such a great resource. So we'll definitely link back to that. We only have a few more minutes, but I want to talk about, I know you've got a really new, exciting product that has come out. And so tell our listeners about that.
I would love to. As of today, this is great timing. Today, we're launching a brand new series. Now, we're calling it our Video Lectures on Demand. And what these are, Yvette, we're putting out these 10 to 20 minute video lectures that correlate with each and every lesson that students would find in volumes 3 or 4 of The Mystery of History. And what families can do is rent these lectures for a year. You get a whole year to watch them.
Oh, wow.
And you could rent them by the quarter for just $29.
Okay.
Or you could rent them for the entire year or a year's worth of the material for $99. Obviously, the more you rent at one time, the better the savings for you. But we know some families might just want to bite off a little at a time and try a quarter, and then they can proceed from there. Now, just to let you know, these video lectures are not designed to replace my teaching that's found in the textbooks, but what these lectures do is give you more. So they're really good, a good resource for the eager student. Maybe you have a visual learner who would like all the PowerPoint slides, because I just load these up with all okay. kinds of pretty paintings and portraits. It's also for the spiritually minded student who might be looking to understand God's role in history. I mean, I talk a lot about that. So I'm really just going to come alongside other homeschool teaching parents and give these kids a biblical worldview toward history. And again, just kind of lead them through on a little deeper level than what you get in the textbook. I'm always also just, you know, bringing in current events and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So please look at it. Look for that on my website. So on our website, we have books, we have classes, we have games that help bring history to life. And again, the tab you're looking for, if you're interested in these videos, they're just called Video Lectures, and that's at themysteryofhistory.com.
Oh, that is great. Now, let me ask you really quickly, is this something mm-hmm. that one of the questions we get a lot is, how do I handle different age groups and age levels of children, you know, teaching? So if a family has maybe 4 kids and they have 2 olders and then maybe a toddler and a baby or something like that, is this something that the older kids could go off and watch on their own while maybe mom helps with the little ones? Or is this something that mom or dad need to do with their children?
Ooh, good question. I would say the first is a really good scenario. Let's again say the whole family is using maybe volume 3 of The Mystery of History. So you do have little ones sometimes tagging along, and there are appropriate age level, you know, activities for them. Mm-hmm. But let's say mom is going to stop and do, you know, a sandbox exercise with the little guys, but the olders need a bit more or might want more. That would be something they could go do on their own. If okay. watch in addition this video lecture, then it gives them a classroom feel. It's kind of like a precursor of college class where they're sitting and could take notes. They could use our notebooking pages and take notes from the lecture. So they are lectures.
Okay.
And I would think some younger students might tag along and even enjoy watching the lectures, but certainly it's more geared towards students 14 and up
okay.
who may be seeking to earn a high school credit in world history.
Oh, great.
So yeah, it is something students could do without their parents.
Okay.
I do notice as I'm teaching, these are derived from my online classes. And certainly once in a while, we have parents and grandparents just tuning in because maybe they just like history. And yeah. So, you know, all ages can enjoy this subject.
Yes, yes. Well, that is great. That is such a great resource. I know that for myself, I've got a 12-year-old and I'm oftentimes looking for things that she can do, you know, not for the whole day, but just for, you know, maybe 30 minutes or so while I work with her little sister on something else. How long are the lectures?
They're anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Just a few go longer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
There's
okay.
a couple when I get to World War II that I think start to push about 25 minutes.
Okay. Oh, that's
perfect. That's only World War II because, of course, that's just the necessity
yes,
there.
Yes, yes. Okay. Wonderful. Oh, that's great. Well, we will definitely link back to that as well in our show notes. And Linda, thank you so much for coming on today. It is such a pleasure to talk with you. We are excited to have you as one of the Schoolhouse Rocked marketing partners. I love that we get to help promote you, and you're doing a great job of helping to promote Schoolhouse Rocked. And so it's a beautiful relationship that we have with you, and we are thrilled to be partners with you. And I'm really glad to have you on the podcast. I know that for those who have not checked out Mystery of History, you will be blessed by it. And for those of you who already have it, go check out this video lecture series. I think it will be a great encouragement to you. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much. And I'll be praying too for your success. Homeschooling's been such a big part of our lives, and I'm glad you're getting the word out. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, and we will chat again soon.
Thank you, Yvette.
Okay. Bye-bye. For great homeschooling videos, articles, giveaways, and more, check out members.schoolhouserocked.com and use the coupon code PODCAST10 to save 10% on any paid Backstage Pass membership. Backstage Pass members get exclusive access to full interviews from the cast of Schoolhouse Rocked and so much more. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave a review. Until next time, I'm Yvette Hampton, wishing you the joys of community and the wisdom to teach and learn. God bless.